Unless we are extremely foolish, we all realize that we have a lot to learn. We never know it all. There is always something that needs to be taught. Some new thing that we didn't know before, or an old thing that we've just not had the time or never had the opportunity to learn. And the same thing is true in spiritual realms of our life. God is constantly trying to teach us some things that we need to learn. As we think about the ways that He teaches us and the times in our lives that He teaches us, as we're thinking about being taught by God. You know, there are a lot of people out there that want to teach us and tell us and give us information, and some of that information is good information and some of it's not. The beautiful thing about learning from God is that His information is always good information. It's always the right information. It's always something we needed to know, not something that is going to be useless to us like trivia later on down the line. He's teaching us things that will be beneficial to us later on down the line. As we think about being taught by God, we want to consider some of the passages in Scripture that show some of the things that God teaches and some of the ways that God teaches us. We're going to begin in Psalm 25 and verses 3 through 12. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He will teach sinners in the way. The meek He will guide in judgment, and the meek He will teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall God teach in the way that he shall choose. When we think about several times in this section, this writer of this psalm speaks of us being taught and learning the things that God wants to teach us. What we want to notice mainly here is the focus on our attitude toward learning. Those that are meek, those that are willing to learn, those that are willing to be led in His truth, those that are willing, He will teach. If we're stubborn, if we're arrogant, if we think we know it all, God can't do anything with us in that circumstance. All He can do is break us. It's interesting, Jesus on one time talks about Himself as being the stone that the builders rejected. And He says two things about that stone. He says anyone who falls on that stone will be broken. In other words, if we fall on it, we've got to break our will and fall on Him. But He says, on the other hand, anyone on whom that stone falls will be crushed to powder. So we've got a choice. We can willingly fall on Him and be broken and give in to His way of doing things and learn from Him and be taught by Him. Or we can stubbornly refuse and fight against Him all our lives, and eventually, and certainly if not before then, on the day of judgment, He'll crush us if we continue to refuse and rebel against Him. God is actively trying to teach us. Whether we're learning or not is up to us. And that's what the psalmist pointed out to us. The Lord is there to teach, but will we learn? Will we listen? Will we study? Will we gain that insight that He has to offer us? That's up to us. Jesus also refers to this in John 6 and verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. So Jesus makes it clear. One of the things that will happen if we are willing to be taught by God is we're going to come to Jesus. That's the end result of that teaching. If we've learned of the Father, then we will go to Jesus Christ. As we begin then, we're going to look at 10 things. And we'll run through them fairly quickly. God teaches us. We'll begin each one with that phrase. God teaches us, first of all, in successes. God teaches us in our success. When we are victorious, when we accomplish something, we should be learning something from that experience from God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So he said, you've seen me do these things already. You learn those things and you do the same thing. You learn from my successes. Now obviously Paul talks about us imitating him in the things that he's doing that are right. The things where he's learned from God the right way to do things and the right things to do. In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul tells Timothy, "Continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." If you know that your knowledge came from God, then it's something that you can hang on to. You can be assured of those things if you've learned them from God. It's an amazing thing. Mankind's knowledge is ever-growing and ever-changing. I was listening to something just yesterday. They were talking about health myths. The things that they used to say, oh, this will happen if you do that and don't do this because it's bad for you and eat this because it's healthy for you, and this thing over here is not healthy for you. And how many of those things have we heard them say one thing, and then a few years later they come back and reverse it and say, oh, no, that wasn't true. That eggs is a great... Eggs were good for you, eggs were bad for you, now eggs are good for you again, and you know, and then it was the egg whites are the only part that's good for you. And you know, they get all these... Constantly they're changing the rules on us, aren't they? God's knowledge never changes. When we learn something from God, we can depend on it to be good today or 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now. Man's knowledge, they're constantly changing what they think they know, but not with God. But we can learn from Him and be assured. And when we have success with things, these things, when we do what He says we should do, it'll work out for the better for us, and we'll recognize that. We'll have that success. But God also teaches us in failures. In Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, God says, "When you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." He gave them a very specific command. But in Psalm 106 and verse 35, guess what we find out? The psalmist says, "But they were mingled with the heathen and learned their works." God told them what not to do, but they had to learn the hard way. When one of my children was very young, we were standing near a candle. And if you've ever seen, children are fascinated by the flickering flame of a candle. And this child reached out to touch it. And I pulled the hand back. "That's hot, don't touch that." Well, again, the hand went out. This time I slapped it, "Don't touch that, it's hot." That was the easy way to learn. Trust Daddy. Listen, learn. It's hot, don't touch that. The third time the hand went out, you know what I did? Nothing. Sometimes some people learn the hard way, don't they? And as far as I know, that child has never again touched a candle that was burning. They learned the lesson. Now, they got a little bit of a blister on the end of their finger, but they learned the lesson for themselves. The children of Israel learned the lesson. It was too late for that generation after they mingled with the heathen and learned their ways and did the evil things in the sight of the Lord. But they did learn. And you know, it's an amazing thing. They finally were carried away into captivity because of their idolatry, because they went off and worshipped those false gods. You know, if there's one thing you can say about the Jewish people today, after they came back from that captivity, that Babylonian captivity, they may have a lot of problems, they may still struggle with a lot of sins, but if there's one thing you can say about the Jewish people is they shun idolatry now, don't they? For hundreds of years now, they have learned that lesson. They shun idols. But it took a long time, and it took several generations of suffering for them to recognize that and to remember that. Look what our ancestors went through. We don't want to have to go through that. Sometimes we learn through our failures. Of course, it would be easier if we had just listened to God's command. If they had listened to God's command and not learned the ways of the heathen in the land, that would have been better for them. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 32 through 34, as Jesus is warning Peter about his coming denials, really you could call it a betrayal of sorts. It's not a betrayal like Judas's was, but it was a betrayal of trust, certainly a betrayal of the truth when Peter denied the Lord. But Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." And he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you shall three times deny you even know me." You think about that for a minute. Here's, "I'm ready to die for you. I'll go to prison with you." Just a couple hours later, after such a bold statement. You know, it wasn't years later when he had, you know, changed drastically. It was just a few hours. Here he is, denying that he even knows the Lord. But you know, Peter learned from his failure. Peter never again denied the Lord, as far as we know. And he ultimately did die for the Lord. It just wasn't at that time that he was going to die for him. But he learned. Then we want to notice also that God teaches us in everyday experiences. You know, sometimes we expect some grand thing. If we're going to learn from God, it's got to be a huge experience. It's got to be some amazing thing that's just miraculous in nature. But that's not true. God teaches us in our everyday, humdrum, boring, simple life events that we think aren't even important. He's trying to teach us even in those things. In Genesis 30 and verse 27, Laban said to Jacob, "I pray you, if I have found favor in your eyes, stay with me. For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me because of you." You know, there was nothing, no big, huge, massive, miraculous thing with Jacob and Laban there. But Laban had figured out after a little while of maybe doing his math and going, you know, before Jacob came along, I was losing 4 sheep a month and 3 goats a month, and you know, I was losing all these things, and you know, since he's been here, I haven't been losing them. My ewes and my she-goats, they haven't been losing their young. They've been carrying their young to term and giving birth, and they've been healthier, And things are, you know, things are just better when he's around. Must be because of that God he serves. Maybe God is blessing him and blessing me through him. You know, sometimes we don't recognize those blessings from God that are the everyday blessings. Do you remember in the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus is giving that sample prayer to the disciples? What he says is, give us this day our daily bread. And sometimes we don't even think about the fact that we have food to eat every day. We don't think about that as being some big wonderful thing, but God's trying to teach us. You can trust me. I'm giving you food to eat every day. And we can depend on him. In Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9, Jesus, on this occasion, and many others, he went out to, talks about the sower that went out to sow his seed. But on many occasions, he uses the parables. What did the Lord use to teach? He used the average, everyday thing that people talk about. He talks about fishing with a net. He talks about somebody finding a pearl of great price. He talks about a treasure hunter that found a treasure buried in a field. He talks about this sower. He talks about the fig tree. He talks about the weather. He talks about all of these things and teaches his disciples how to live based on those things. I will mention, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about this, some 100-fold and some 60-fold and some 30-fold, the reproduction of that. And somebody informed me that I didn't know anything about growing corn, which is probably true. But I did some research, and I found that there are some types of corn plants that actually do grow 5 or 6 years of corn. But they're the little baby corns that you get in the Chinese food. But I had to look that up and try to learn a little bit more about that. Then we want to notice God teaches us with pain. Psalm 119 and verse 71. The psalmist says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, so that I might learn your statutes." You think about that? It is good for me to have suffered some pain and affliction. We don't usually think of that. We talked about that in class this morning. Discipline is not a pleasant thing. We don't look forward to that. We don't say, oh, what an enjoyable thing that was. But not everything that's good for us is enjoyable. It can be good for us and yet still be painful. If you've ever known someone had a broken bone that had to be set, and the doctor sets that broken bone, it hurts, but it was good for them. And if you've ever had a cavity and gone to the dentist, or you had to have a tooth pulled because it was rotten or infected or something, you know it hurts, but it's good for you. Sometimes the things that are good for us are not pleasant. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." And of course we know he prayed to God 3 times to get rid of that thing, and every time the Lord said, "Oh no, you've got enough grace. You'll make it. You can suffer through." I remember after Kazia was born and Dawn was in the hospital, and they gave her the little morphine button. And she said, "Well, I'm not even going to use that thing." And they said, "Well, yeah, you will." And so before long, of course, she was concerned. "Well, what if I use it too much?" They said, "Well, you can't use it too much. It's set on a timer that will only let you push the button every so often and give you a certain dose and so forth." Well, after a while, she started hurting and she started pushing that button. And after a little while, she would push the button and nothing would happen, and it'd still keep hurting. And she called the nurse in there and said, "What's going on? I pushed the button and it didn't help." And the nurse looked at it, you know, looked at everything and said, "Oh, well, you've already used up all that you can have. You got to wait 15 more minutes before you can get any more." She had to suffer through some pain for a while. but it was good for her not to be able to just have unlimited amount of that morphine. It could have killed her if you had too much of that. So sometimes we have to suffer through. And they gave enough painkiller to as much as they could give, but that's all that there was. And so it is sometimes. God gives us enough grace that we can make it through, but we may still have some pain in the process. Hebrews 5:8, even Christ, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Even Jesus learned through suffering. 1 Timothy 1:20. Paul says of a certain couple of men, Hymenaeus and Alexander, he says, I have delivered them unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, I don't know if they learned their lesson or not. Hope they did. But the Bible doesn't give us a follow-up on these two guys to know whether they learned not to blaspheme or not. But we can learn from their examples, certainly. But also God teaches us in struggles. 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 11. Paul says, we wouldn't have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, so that we should not trust ourselves, but in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You also helping together by the prayers for us, so that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons' thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So he said, we thought we were going to die. That's how bad it was. We thought that was it. We were struggling so bad, we didn't have any strength left. We were pressed harder than we could handle. But God helped us make it through it. So many times we depend on our own strength. But God teaches us in our struggles, you're not strong enough to handle it by yourself. You're going to have to depend on some other people. Here, he had the saints praying for him. But God delivered them. We need to be sure that in our struggles we learn from God. In 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 9, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Think about what Paul's saying here. Notice what he said. Back in chapter 1, he said, let me tell you how bad it was. We were pressed beyond measure. It was above our strength. And we despaired even of life. But then God delivered us. And what did Paul learn? Paul learned so that now in chapter 4, he says, that was then, but this is now. We're still troubled on every side. We're still perplexed, but we're not in despair. Why not? Because he had been taught by God. He had learned from God that even when it's beyond our control and when it's beyond our power and when there's nothing left we can do about it, God's still there. And God can handle it. He learned that from the other experience that he had where he did despair, but God came along and rescued him. Then we want to notice also that God teaches us by repetition. We don't like repetition a whole lot, but that is how we learn so many things. And God teaches us that same way. In Acts chapter 10, you remember Peter's up on the roof? It's a little before lunchtime and he's getting ready for lunch and he's up there on the roof and this vision comes to him. And God is trying to teach him that it's okay for Gentiles to be Christians. And so he brings down the net with all the different animals in it, the sheep with all those animals in it. And Peter says, well, I can't eat those. Those are unclean. And God said, don't call it unclean if I said it's clean. God had to show him that 3 times. And even after the 3rd time, Peter's still sitting up there going, I wonder what he meant by that. What is that all about? And then the doorbell rings. I don't think they actually had doorbells, but somebody was at the door. Maybe they did have a bell at the door, different than our doorbells. But he said, "Oh, there's some men here to see you." And then he finds out about the Gentile thing, and he's, that's what God was trying to teach me up there. I'm going to go talk to this Gentile. But God uses repetition. He will continue to give us the same lessons over and over again until we learn them. I'm reminded of the preacher that moved to a new place, and first Sunday he preached a wonderful lesson, and everybody thought it was great, and they complimented him on it, and that was wonderful, and that was some good teaching, and so forth. But then they went on out the rest of the week, and he noticed that they didn't change. They didn't do any differently. So the next Sunday, he got up and he preached the same sermon again on the same subject, teaching them the same thing again. And they came out and they said that sounded an awful lot like what you preached last week. And he said, "Yeah, it did." They didn't think a whole lot more about it. They went on about their week, and he noticed again they weren't changing. They weren't doing any better. And so he preached it the third week, the same lesson. And they got in and they said, "Now look, do you have any other lessons you can teach besides this one? You've preached the same lesson three times in a row." And he said, "Well, I've got plenty of more lessons. When y'all get this one, we'll move on to something else." Well, sometimes it does take some repetition for us to learn some things and to get some things through our heads. But then we also learn that God teaches us when we ask honest questions. Not facetious questions, not mocking questions, but when we sincerely need knowledge and we'll ask. "Ask and you shall receive," Jesus said. In Acts 8, verses 34 and 35, the eunuch asked Philip, "Who is this prophet speaking of? Is he talking about himself or some other man?" And he sincerely wanted to know. And so Philip opened his mouth and began at that scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now on the other hand, you have Pilate, who's talking with Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, I came to testify of the truth." And Pilate asks the question, "Well, what is truth?" And then he turns around and walks out the door. He didn't wait around to get the answer. He wasn't sincere. If we ask honest, sincere questions, God has answers to those questions for us. With some of them. Now, sometimes the answer is just, you don't need to know. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things of God are His. Sometimes we do ask some questions that we may be honest about it, but God just says, "Hey, that's not important. You need to be focusing on this over here, on how to live so that you can get to heaven instead of worrying about all of these specifics about what heaven's going to be like," for example. Sometimes there are a lot of questions about heaven that we may have that aren't going to get answered. We just don't know. Then God teaches us through the least likely people. In Matthew 18, 2-4, Jesus teaches through a little child. Calls that little child up there and says, "You've got to be like this little child." In Luke 18, 10-14, He uses the most despised person probably in the history of the world, the tax collector. He uses that person to teach humility before God and how to be justified by God. In John 7, Jesus Himself is used as an example. One, the Jews are marveling, "How does this man know letters? He's never been to school to be taught." He was an unlikely teacher because he'd never been to school to be taught himself. Acts 4 and verse 13, Peter and John were quite shocking to those that they came in contact with because they saw this boldness and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And yet they saw this boldness that they had to speak and teach. And they took notice that they had been with Jesus. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 10, Moses is used as a teacher. And Moses was an unlikely character. Moses also then tells the children of Israel who had wandered in the wilderness to teach their children. Wow, all those Israelites that rebelled against God and disobeyed Him, you're going to use them to teach their children? Yeah, and you know what that next generation did? That next generation rose up and went into the land and conquered it and obeyed. They learned from their parents' mistakes. Isn't that what we all want for our children? For them to learn from our mistakes so they don't have to repeat them? That'd be good. So we have all of these people that God used that were not the most likely, not the ones that were considered the wisest or the richest or the most famous or the most popular or any of those things. That's not who God used. And then God teaches us with Scripture. He uses Scripture. John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." In Deuteronomy 17, 18, and 19, the king that sat on the throne was supposed to keep a copy of the law with him, and he was supposed to read it every day. If that was good for the king, that'd be good for us too. Read the Scriptures every day. We can learn a lot. God teaches us with Scripture. And then God teaches us in nature. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." You know, not everybody may have a Bible and be able to learn the truths of God's Word. But the psalmist says everybody ought to be able to look at the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky and figure out there's a God. God teaches through that. In fact, Romans 1, 19 and 20 says, "That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. The invisible things of Him are clearly seen since the foundation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. They are without excuse." There are going to be people that stand on Judgment Day and thinking, well, God, how could I have known You were real? I didn't know how to know You were real. Paul says, oh no, you should have known. You should have been able to just look around at the world you live in and know that somebody bigger than me had to make this. Somebody stronger and wiser, more powerful, had to build all of this. And yet the world still continues to think it could have just happened. As we conclude, we want to think about Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Are you learning from God? We talked about that at the beginning. God is, He's actively teaching us. He's sending the message out. It's just like the radio station or the television station that they send out the signal all the time. But is your radio on? If you don't have your radio on and tuned to the right frequency, you're not going to pick up the radio station, even though they're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God is constantly sending us these messages through all of these various ways, through people, through Scripture, through nature, all around us, in our pain, in our success and failure, every which way He's trying to teach us. Are we learning? Micah 4:2 says, "Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. The law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Are you coming up to the mountain of the Lord to let Him teach you His ways? Are you listening to His Word and His law that's gone forth? If you've not been listening to God, if you've not been learning the lessons that you should, start today. It's never too late to start learning. You can start today and you can learn. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please do so as we come and as we stand and as we sing.